Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
We speak to Jan Vermeulen, editor at large for mybroadband.co.za, who brings us up to date with what's happening in the world of tech. Jan, good afternoon to you on day 26 of lockdown. Are you staying sane?
Yes, good afternoon. Yes, I am, you might not believe me, but I'm actually quite an introvert, actually. I'm quite happy to be in solitary here. Also not that solitary, I am married, but yeah, both my wife and I are quite happy.
Well, you're a tech guy, so that makes some sense. Hey, I mean, you're a tech guy, so that does make sense. Although, two weeks ago, you were traipsing.
Does such a thing exist?
and there I was kind of jealous of you because 2 weeks ago you were zooming around the whole country checking out, I don't know, cell phone masks and towers and reception in all these beautiful places. And, now you're at home just like the rest of us. Anyway, funny how things change so quickly, eh, Jan? That is for sure. They wasn't even conceivable then.
Yeah, and we will still go out and test the networks depending on how long the lockdown lasts. We obviously want to respect the lockdown as much as possible and not go out unless it's absolutely necessary. But there is a lot of value in independent testing and analysis of the coverage and the quality of the mobile networks in South Africa. And so we'll see what happens in the next week or so. And then we might just resume testing as an essential service, which we are.
Well, that makes perfect sense because nothing could be more crucial than this highway that you guys have created, this virtual highway that keeps us all connected. And that leads us to a very interesting topic, which in fact you wanted to talk about today as well, which is who did and who did not double line speeds.
Right. This was a story that we've been following since Vumatel first announced that they were going to be doubling the line speeds of all the clients on their fiber network. And you saw a number of fiber network operators jumping on the bandwagon and saying they're going to increase line speeds too.
Yes, we did.
One of them was Metro Fiber Networks. And so the initial assumption was that they too would be doubling like everybody else, like Vumatel, Link Africa and Frogfoot. Notably absent from the line doubling brigade is OpenServe. But from my conversations in the industry, there's some really good reasons not to offer blanket downstream line doubling of all your clients. And so what Metro Fiber essentially told me, though some of it's between the lines, is that it's actually incredibly risky to just double the line speeds of everybody on your network because you don't know what kind of knock-on effect that's going to have on the ISPs who are serving the customers on your network. They might not necessarily have all the available capacity to just simply double people's line speeds. And so they were a little bit circumspect. What Metro Fiber did was they increased everybody's line speed by a blanket 10 megabit per second. Now to me,
sounds a little low.
Yeah.
To significant.
Me, it depends on where in the range of services you are. To me, who lives on the internet and who works from home, even outside of lockdown, 10 megabits per second on, you know, a 50 megabit per second or a 100 megabit per second line is not a whole lot. But for folks who are on 5 megabits per second or 10 megabits per second, that is a life-changing amount of speed. Like you triple the speed of somebody on the lower end connections on 5 megabits per second, and you double the speed of somebody on a 10 megabit per second connection. And that's the difference between, like, if you've got a family of four, and that's the difference between, you know, allowing, you know, three people to stream independently, you know, Netflix, YouTube in the rooms or whatever, and for somebody else to continue working or whatever the case might be. And, you know, your internet chugging completely as, you know, three people try to stream YouTube at the same time.
So
10 megabits per second, can be, quite a substantial amount of speed, for somebody on the lower end of that spectrum. But yes, so what Metro Fiber decided to do there was to ensure, that it wasn't going to be, it wasn't going to break the backs of anybody to supply these speed upgrades to clients was their aim. And so, it's not quite as flashy as doubling. And certainly I'm lucky enough to be on a network where my line speed was doubled and it's wonderful. It's actually been amazing. But I can understand Metro Fiber's way of doing things, because not all networks, are the same and not all user distributions are the same. They know what's best for their network, just as I will trust that Frogfoot, who doubled my line speed, is going to know what they can do on their network.
Interesting. Sounds like a little bit of a marketing ploy to me to a certain extent. But anyway, I'm sure we'll all have our own opinions on the matter. Another very interesting article on your site today is Ending the Lockdown, the Problem with South African Statistics. Where are you going with that story, Ian?
Right. So this is something that I wrote, and I've been spending most of my time crunching numbers and or fighting against misinformation and disinformation out there. And so, yeah, the goal I set for myself during this time is to try and be as informative as possible, to give people the information they need to make the decisions they need to make. And this was something that I felt was a little underreported. It's something that the now famous advisor to the health minister, Salim Abdul Karim, was talking about. He's the chair of the advisory committee to Zweliem Kize, our health minister, and he's a world-renowned epidemiologist. And he was speaking to the UKZN about these targets that he set. I don't know if you remember that story, but he came on TV and I think he brought a lot of people to tears, but I was sitting there lapping it up because he effectively gave us a decision tree for how the lockdown will be either be extended or relaxed in South Africa. And he laid out four very clear criteria. If the number of cases due to normal regular passive screening, and I'll explain that in a bit later, is 90 or more, then the lockdown continues as is, because it means that the virus is actually spreading in South Africa.
All right.
And he based that number on the previous week's average. So not last week, but the week before's average. That's where he got that 90 from. And it's a very rough thing. It's actually not 90 straight up. It's actually in a band. They call it a confidence interval. But for the sake of simplicity, you just explained it this way. Then if the number of cases is between 45 and 89, then you start getting into like quicksand. Now you have to see how you're going to approach it. So then they go, okay, but they've got an army, 28,000 people in communities doing active screening, you know, like with a temperature gun and doing questionnaires and stuff to see if people potentially have to be referred to a hospital for a proper COVID test. So then they look at the number of people who were referred to go get a COVID test from the active screening. If more than 1 in 1,000 of those people have the coronavirus, then the lockdown continues. If fewer than 1 in 1,000, that's 0.1%, end up having the coronavirus after getting a test, after being actively screened, then we relax the lockdown. And if we are 44 below cases per day, this is on average per day, then we relax the lockdown. So those are the criteria he set. But then it turns out that actually matching the data coming in to these criteria turned out to be basically impossible. And the reason is that that army of community healthcare workers I was talking about earlier, they muddy the data, but in a good way. So they're out there looking for people potentially infected. And the way Karim explained this is, like previously, all the data was based on people going to a doctor, going to a hospital, going to a clinic with symptoms and going, I feel sick. Do I have coronavirus effectively, right? That's called passive screening. And now they've added this active screening in the last week and a half. And now you're not comparing apples and apples when you're comparing 1 week's new cases to the previous week's new cases. And so, that's essentially what this article of mine is about, is it turned out to be a problem in trying to decide whether to extend or relax South Africa's lockdown based on the criteria recommended by Karim and which was laid down by the Department of Health, because they didn't factor in how dirty the data was going to be. And so we're actually sitting, oddly enough, with a big data problem in South Africa that needs to be solved. And so, right, we were supposed to know by the 18th whether the lockdown was going to be extended or relaxed. and we still haven't heard anything. And I suspect it's because they will only know by probably Thursday or Friday when they can compare this week's data with last week's data.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Jan. I'm going to put you on the spot. What's going to happen?
They're gonna start relaxing the lockdown, but incredibly slowly. The thing is the data is gonna show that the lockdown should be extended. I'm looking at the number of positive cases this week, and this week is definitely gonna be worse than the last one. But at this stage, maybe if by some miracle tomorrow or today and tomorrow they end up being 20 new cases, but I don't see that happening.
No, we're way over 100, aren't we? According to Business Insider at any rate.
Yeah. And so I've been tracking the data myself, and we're, heading into hump day. Thursday is actually the cutoff. So we're actually, over the halfway point. And so the data is going to show that the lockdown should be extended according to his own criteria. But because of the economic situation in the country, there's going to be no choice but to start relaxing the lockdown more and more. And so we've already started seeing that with, half the mining workforce being asked to return to work, because they need to start supplying Eskom. And when you think through the logic of this, now the government is being quite transparent, but it's not communicating well on every decision it's making. Like, it's not communicating well on why it banned alcohol and cigarettes, for example, and people are frustrated at that. Why do they ban hot foods? It seems nonsensical, and they're losing the support of the people that way because they're not communicating well there. And it's the same thing with half the mining workforce. But if you think through it logically, if you start relaxing the lockdown, that means there's going to be a greater demand on our electricity grid. And we will get thrown back into load shedding while dealing with the virus if Eskom isn't properly supplied. And so, that's why they started relaxing the lockdown on those services before they started relaxing the lockdown on anything else, because that has to come on stream before they just let South Africa go back to work. Otherwise, we might end up with two problems instead of one.
5 o'clock. We have to leave it there. That is so interesting. Let's see if your predictions come true. Thank you as always for your input, but it is 5 o'clock and we need to take news with David Kotchikoff.